21 verses, Luke 8, 1 through 21. So hear the word of God. Soon afterward, Jesus went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for the disciples out of their means. And when a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. Some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." When his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it to bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear, for the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. Then his mother and brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And Jesus was told, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." But Jesus answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Amen. You can go ahead and be seated, and the kids can go back with Amanda, or they can stay here and use one of the sermon note sheets. If you're not already there, go ahead and turn to Luke 8. It's interesting, some of these passages, it seems like there is so many different parts, and they don't seem to be connected to each other. He's talking about seeds, and he's talking about light, and he's talking about mothers and brothers and obedience. But I think this is all one passage that is meant to be looked at together. There's one theme that goes through it of hearing and responding. Obviously, Jesus is talking about hearing. He talked about it several times, every kind of different section in there. There was a theme of hearing. Right? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. As for those who are in the good soil, they hear the word and hold it fast. Take care then how you hear. My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. So what is hearing? What is hearing? A strict dictionary definition just says that hearing is the faculty of perceiving sound. Your ears just hear noises. It hears sounds. But hearing is beyond just perceiving sounds, right? Hearing is understanding. Hearing is understanding what someone or something is trying to communicate. For example, the horn on a train is a noise. That's not just a noise. It's a noise that's meant to communicate something. And if you hear the horn on a train, we would be wise to understand what that train or what that horn means. It means a train is coming, get out of the way. If you just hear the sound and don't do anything about it, what good is that hearing? Or perhaps the growl of a bear. The growl of a bear is beyond just this deep vocal intonation. It's beyond just noises coming out from this animal. It's meant to communicate something. If you hear the growl of a bear, you would be wise to understand what that means. Or if someone's talking to you, sometimes it might seem like this, that they're just talking in syllabic noise. Rah, 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 rah. But for whatever they're trying to tell you, they're trying to communicate something to you. Even Tarzan and his grunts, he's communicating something. It's not just noise. And so when the Bible talks about hearing, it's not just that you hear these words, that you hear the sounds that someone makes when they vocalize these words that have been printed. Hearing is to understand what is being communicated and to take it to heart. And Jesus says at the end of verse 8, he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Jesus wants us to be people with good hearing, because it's very possible to have ears, to have physical ears, to hear sounds, but not have good hearing, to not understand. Because in verses 9 and 10, it says, when the disciples asked him what this parable meant, Jesus says, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." And Jesus is quoting from Isaiah chapter 6. And verses 9 and 10, it says, "The Lord said, 'Go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed.'" The word of God is severe. It would be better for someone to not be here or not have access to God's word or not just hear the word of God go forth than to be here, than to be present when the word of God is spoken and goes forth, and to hear that word with their ears but refuse to hear it spiritually. It'd be better to not hear it than to hear it and disregard it. For to hear it and disregard it makes ears dull and hearts hard and eyes blind. There's tremendous ramifications for how we hear, for not hearing. And so Jesus here in this passage is communicating at the beginning some things of what prevents us from hearing. And this is what he was communicating in the parable of the soil. There's several things. The first thing is callous rejection of the word. It says a sower went out to sow his seed. As he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. The path in that day, they didn't have all these, the lines of the field were not demarcated, and they didn't have acres and all this sort of thing. Paths went right through people's fields, and so the sowers were out there sowing. And if you can imagine a hard, packed down, dusty path, you throw a seed on there, the seed's not going to take root. I've been planting grass seed to replace all the weeds I've been digging up. And they tell you on the directions, you have to dig up 1 to 3 inches of the soil to loosen it so that when you throw the seed on there, it has a place to take root. This seed is throwing, it's being thrown on a hard ground. It's impenetrable. The ones along the paths are those who have heard, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. There's this hardness. In Ezekiel 3:7, it says, "The house of Israel will not be willing to listen to you, for they are not willing to listen to me, because the house of Israel have a hard forehead and a stubborn heart." The word cannot penetrate. It hits the hard ground and it bounces off, and it's an easy target for the devil to come and take that away. So a callous rejection, a "I don't want to hear," leads to a hard mind, a hard heart. A shallow belief. will prevent us from hearing. It says, and some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. There are parts of Palestine there, Israel, ancient Palestine, and right underneath a couple inches of soil was a hard limestone bedrock. So it had enough soil, the seed had enough soil to take the initial root, but it didn't have anywhere to go down. And if the land is dry, the roots need to go down deep to where the water is. And so it takes root, but it has nowhere to go deeper to access the water, and so it withers away. And there are people who receive the word with joy, who receive this message of good news. They love the good news, but in a time of testing, fall away. They had a shallow belief. They only wanted the good news for the ease of life. When life got too difficult, that wasn't worth it. This message really isn't that good news if God's going to allow me to walk through this time of testing. They have no root where the living springs of Jesus can continue to feed them, no matter the desert, no matter the dry land, no matter the affliction or the testing. Shallow belief if you are looking for the good news only for the ease of life. An infested life will keep you from hearing well. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. It says, and as for those what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. Their life is consumed with trying to obtain the riches and pleasures of life, and their attention is fixed on the anxieties that come along with trying to keep up with the Joneses, with trying to obtain the riches and pleasures of life. You try to do that, it will bring affliction and hardship and anxieties. And they are thorns. I've been using that weeds metaphor for a while, but I've been digging up these dandelions, even these little dandelions. They're not even these big thorn bushes that they were talking about, but these little dandelions. And the leaves spread out, and you know, maybe they cover a little area about like that. And as I dig them up, guess what? There's no grass growing under the leaves because it shut out the grass. And so everywhere I pick up these dandelions, it leaves a big splotch of just dirt. They've choked out the grass. The thorns, these thorn bushes were infesting. The thorn bushes of these anxieties and cares of life were growing up in the heart along with the word. And obviously the person, if your attention is on the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life and not on the kingdom of God, you don't attend to the weeds, you don't attend to the thorn bushes. That's how weeds work. They snuff out anything around it. They crowd it out. If you look at these, the common thread of the infertile hearts, the hearts that don't truly receive the word of God to bear its fruit, the common theme is that the heart is not giving the word of God its rightful place in the life. It sees the authority of the word of God as an outsider, right? The one with the hard heart doesn't want the word of God to come speak. It rejects God. It's angry at God. It's mad at God. It doesn't want anything to do with the word. Or the shallow belief, it wants it when the times are good, but rejects it when the times get tough. In this infested life, they'd rather worry about the things of the world than the things of God. So the theme is that it sees the word of God as an outsider. It doesn't truly want the word of God to speak to them, to control them. They don't want to reorganize their life around the kingdom of God, around what God would speak. Doesn't want to organize their life around the counsel of God, the wisdom of God. And the truth is, if you don't want to hear the word of God, you won't hear the word of God. The one who wants to hear, who recognizes the necessity of the word of God, will reap a bounty. And Jesus says in verse 15, as for those in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word of God, hearing the word, hold it fast. They cling to it in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. You plant a tree, you plant a seed, it takes time, it takes patience for that seed to bear its fruit. That's the only appropriate response to the word of God. If we're hearing the word, to hold it fast in an honest and good heart, moral uprightness, honest, the word there is actually good, a good, good heart, a moral uprightness, heart of integrity. And it bears fruit in time with patience, a hundredfold, Jesus said. But this is the only appropriate response to the word. This is what Jesus is talking about in with this imagery of the lamp in verse 16. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. In the same way that one lights a lamp to use it, Jesus speaks the word for people to hear it. It would be foolish to light a lamp, to light your house, and then put it under your bed where it can't be seen. So it is foolish to hear or speak the word of God and then not attend to it, not cling to it, not do rightly by the word. And the word of God is always going forth just like a lamp. It's a lamp that has been lit and it's shining its light wherever it goes so that people can walk by its light. And it's a simple metaphor, but again with tremendous ramifications, because in verse 17, he says that nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. How you listen, how you hear the word, will eventually be made known to everyone. Because if the one who hears the word and holds fast to it rightly bears a hundredfold, bears fruit, eventually that fruit will come to life, or the fruitlessness will come to light at some point. Jesus, it will be known. Nothing that is hidden, there is nothing hidden that will not be made known. What you think you may be hiding in your heart at some point will be made known. Eventually the lamp will expose every dark corner, every recess, every nook and cranny of the house. It will expose it all. It will be exposed. In Luke 12, it says, Jesus says that nothing is covered up that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light. Whatever you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops. So then Jesus says in verse 18, take care then how you hear, for the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. The word of God is like a light. It's going forth. Everyone who hears it, it's available to anyone who hears it, who sees its light, but you must take care in how you hear. Right? If you listen well to the word, whatever you have, more will be given. Whatever you have will be increased. The gain that you've already had from hearing the word well will be made even more full to you. The one who does not hear well, who has nothing, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. They will be exposed. They will see that they thought they had something when really they had nothing, and that will be very clear. Not only this, but hearing the word well is the mark of someone who is in God's household, his family. And Jesus is the this closing couple verses on this passage. This is how it relates. Then his mother and his brothers came to him. They could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. The most intimate of human relationships, those closest to us, our family. But Jesus answered them, my mother and my brothers, those truly related to me, those in my family are those who hear the word of God and do it. It's quite amazing that obedience, that hearing and obeying the word of God are what relates us to Jesus. By our obedience, we show ourselves to be in God's family. It's a mark. Those who obey have this intimate, familial relationship with God. And if I could say something, it's even our obedience that saves us. Some of you might hear that and say, no, it's the grace of God that saves us, and it is. It's by faith that we're saved, and it is. But think about what we're called to do in response to the good news. Look at Luke chapter 2. Do I have Luke, or Acts chapter 2? Do I have Acts 2 up there? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized. That's, they're in command form. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Right? If you repent, if you're baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So the salvation is by faith. It's by God's grace. It's, Jesus says, that no one comes to Jesus unless the Father draws him, that God is sovereign over this. And yet, guess what? If you don't repent, you're not saved. If you don't obey the command of the good news, you are not saved. Romans 10:9, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Again, this is God's sovereign will. He has a sovereign choice. But there also is the command to respond to the good news. If you confess, that's a command. If you believe, that's a command. Believing is obeying. Confessing is obeying. Repenting is obeying. Sometimes people might confuse this. Well, that's works. I'm saved by my works. No. You're saved by responding in obedience to what a holy God has commanded everyone to do. Anyone. Go to verse, I don't have it up there, but Romans 10:13. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But again, anyone who calls, there's the good news is such that we must call upon the Lord. So we must be willing to hear, and we must put into practice what we hear. We must, as Jesus says, do the word. Those who hear the word of God and do it. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Obedience is the result of hearing well. Obedience literally means to submit to what you hear, to place yourself under the authority of what you hear. If you don't obey, you haven't really heard. Hearing well and obedience go hand in hand. True hearing leads to obedience. Obviously, again, this is not a, what's the word I'm looking for? This is not man's plans to earn salvation by trying to build up their own sense of righteousness. It is a pure submission to God saying, repent, call on my name. Obedience. Without obedience, there is no salvation. Without obedience, there is no walking truly with God. If you go back to the beginning, a couple verses here. Again, another few verses that doesn't seem like it has anything to do with this passage, but it says that Jesus is going through the cities and villages. He's proclaiming the good news. But people are responding. People are responding. In verse 2, there's women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Many people, many women. But the last line of verse 3, who provided for them out of their means. It's not just that they had been set free from these evil spirits and these infirmities, but that they began to walk in line with what Jesus was doing. It says, who provided for them. The women were providing financially for Jesus and his disciples to carry out this mission of proclaiming and bringing the good news. See, they're walking in line with the obedience to the word. The word is going forth, and so they are financially making it able for the word to go forth. They are walking in line. They are an example of hearing and walking in obedience. Proverbs chapter 2 I have lots of underlined words, as you can see. But it says, my son, if you receive, think about this in terms of hearing, if you receive my words, so that you've got to receive these words, and treasure up my commandments. There's a treasuring, a valuing rightly of the commands of God. If you make your ear attentive to wisdom, you've got to pay attention. Incline your heart to understanding, to direct your heart towards, to incline it towards understanding. It just doesn't automatically happen. Yes, if you would call out for insight, if you would raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver, if you seek it like the other things that are valuable in the world, and search for it as hidden treasures. How easy to find our hidden treasures? Not really easy because they're hidden. You search for it, willing to pursue it. And there's verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. There are some corners of theology that so heavily put emphasis on God's will, God's providence, God's sovereign choice, which he does have, his election, which is true, that it negates anything that a human would do and then turns almost the Christian life into licentiousness, into sin, into I don't have to do anything. As though we have no responsibility before God. Very clearly, we do. Very clearly, we have a responsibility to hear the word of God and to walk in obedience to it, to hear it and to do it, to live it out. Now, Proverbs is telling us, if you don't make time to listen, you will not hear it. If you don't make time to listen, how can you hear it? If you're not making time to be in the Word, to hear the Word, to be in places where the Word is spoken, how will you hear it? And this idea of attentiveness and inclining, if you are hearing it but aren't attentive to it, if you're always just distracted. I mean, think about school. I think back when I was in school, I was super distracted, didn't pay attention, didn't learn a lot of stuff in high school. There's a difference between somebody who's sitting in class attentive, listening, soaking it in, gaining knowledge, and someone who's distracted, who's not attentive. What was that? What did you say? If we're not attentive, we're not inclining our heart, we will not gain the understanding. There's this idea of eagerness, right? Calling out for insight, raising your voice, seeking it. I want it, Lord. There's this eagerness if we're not eagerly seeking after it. And we'll miss it. It's not like the Matrix. God is not just plug a little thing into the back of our heads and download a program and automatically make it happen. We strive along and in the grace of God by His grace in His strength, in faith. But we must strive by His grace. And then we must listen in order to obey. Not listen to just understand, but understand that listening, the result of listening, should be obedience. And so when we're listening, when we're hearing, we should be prepared to walk in obedience to what it says. Not just say, okay, I've heard, thanks God for that encouragement, but to actually begin to obey it, to walk in its truth. Luke 11, 28, and Jesus says, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it, or do it. Psalm 119, if you have a chance to read this psalm, it's long, it's 176 verses, but it's all about obedience to the ways of God. Here's the first couple verses. Blessed are those truly full of soul joy, blessed, truly happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart, who do no wrong, but walk in His ways. We must make space in our life to obey. If we don't make space, if our lives are so busy pursuing after the cares and riches and pleasures of this world, if we make no space to actually do the things that God is commanding us, we'll have a problem obeying. There's no room in our life. If God is commanding a particular way of living, a particular holiness, a particular love, but you don't ever make space to be able to live that out towards your family, towards your neighbors, you won't be able to obey. There's no space in your life for that obedience. To go back to what Jesus said in verse 8, I think I've got it up there, I don't remember. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus uses a refrain like this, not just in this passage, but throughout the Gospels. It's a command to hear well, that hearing doesn't just automatically happen. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let it be so. Jesus wants it to be so. But it doesn't just automatically happen. Again, the focal point of our obedience is God in Christ. We're not obeying just to obey a command. Our obedience is towards God. Our obedience is through the grace of God, so that no one can boast. No one can say, well, look at me, look how great of an obeyer I am. Because it's through the grace of God. Without the grace of God, there would be no obedience. Without God, sometimes they call it God's prevenient will. Without Him first moving towards us, we would not respond to Him. Without Him first opening our eyes, we would not see. And yet, there still is a very real command for us to hear and to do the word of God. Whatever stage we are in, for some, that stage might be repent and be saved. Some haven't entered into the salvation life. So there's that command that's going, it's going forth. It's always going forth, isn't it? You see throughout Acts and to repent, to enter in, to turn from your ways, turn to God's good way, to enter into His salvation life, to enter into the ways of the kingdom. But once we're in, That same command doesn't end. It's not as though we repent and we're in and we're good to go. Thanks, God. See you later. I've got my ticket. No, we continue. This is why Jesus says throughout the Gospels as well, the one who perseveres to the end will be saved. We show how well we've received and heard the word by our perseverance. The ones who bear fruit with patience. With patience, with perseverance, the full nature of that fruit of the word will come to be made known in someone's life. So we must do as Jesus says, if we have ears to hear, let us hear. Well, the other verse, I don't remember if it was, I think it was verse 18, take care then how you hear. Take care then how you hear. The word literally means to watch over, to see well. Watch over how you hear. Take it to heart. Consider it of utmost importance how we hear the word of God. If we don't hear well, we cannot obey. A life lived without obedience to God is disastrous. In the end, whatever that one thinks they have will be taken away. Because Jesus said it, he's calling us to it. He's calling us to hear well this morning. Let's pray. Lord God, make known your truths to our hearts, open our ears to hear, give us understanding. Pray that your spirit would go forth before us to penetrate hardness and shallowness, and give us a deep, deep root. Teach us how your sovereign will and our obedience fit together. Teach us how we can obey your word by your grace and in your mercy. Teach us how to obey it by faith. Teach us how these things are never to be built up as trophies of our own righteousness, as works, but that you desire loving obedience from your creation and from especially your children. So let us be people who do not use your grace or your love as an excuse to disobey, as an excuse to not hear well, as an excuse to not do your word. But just as the psalmist and as Jesus said themselves, that they delighted and their joy was doing the will of God. So may it be our delight and our joy to do the will of our Father. Teach us to look to Jesus, the one who opened the door for us to obey, who gives us an example of obedience, and the Spirit who empowers us to obey. Let the response of our hearts in singing be pleasing to you now. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.